Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. Our guest this evening. Our guest this evening is Shifra Klein, the editor-in-chief of Bet Avon magazine. Together with her husband, she started the magazine about a year ago. Together with her husband, she started the company about a year ago. And he is the chief financial officer. Since then, the magazine has gone to better and better, to the point where they have just won an award by the Magazine Innovation Center at their 42nd annual meeting at the Grand Hyatt Hotel. Good evening, Shifra.
Good evening. Thanks for having me. It's nice to be here.
It's a pleasure. So I have one question. You're a 29-year-old mother of two with a background in special education. How does that translate into editor-in-chief of a food magazine?
Really, the way it translates is a passion for food and kosher food in general. We really wanted to bring something to the kosher public that is a true representation of what kosher is about and what we look for. Like, we try to come up with a concept of something that we would look forward to as kosher consumers who appreciate food and have a great knowledge of food. And we really wanted to put something together that would represent what we wanted and what a large population of the kosher world wants at this point.
Want to describe that a little bit more? What exactly is it that you wanted? What is it that you see as the population, the large part of the population wanting?
Well, that's a good question. Really just, not just, you know, what we wanted to bring to the public is not just, a compilation of recipes, but also articles, techniques, different new ideas that people never heard of, something that they would be interested to open up and read about, exciting ideas. For example, this issue we did an article called The Lost Art of Knicker. I don't know if you know, but I don't know if many people know. I had no clue about this. That I always assumed that the hindquarter of the cow was just complete trace, that you were not allowed to eat it. And we did this article where, you know, we researched into it, and actually Steven Weinberger, he wrote the article. He did a really great job, and he basically explained how there's a special process called knicker, and by, you know, cleaning the cow a certain way, you could eat different cuts of meat that I thought was complete trace, and you could actually have it, enjoy it, and eat it. We also introduce techniques. There's articles. We have Ask the Rav. We have people sharing about their experiences keeping kosher all over the world. So we really want to, you know, bring kosher to a level that people will feel very satisfied with. A lot of times, keeping kosher sometimes feels like missing out, like you can't have this and you can't have that. And really what this magazine does is presents kosher in a way that you don't feel like you're missing out at all. It's something that, you know, our magazine is for sale in Barnes & Noble also. It's for sale in ShopRite. Mm-hmm. It's something that could appeal to the masses, and it's something that, you know, people are really embracing.
Well, as one of the chefs that I've had on the show on a few occasions said, that while kosher is definitely more challenging than regular cooking, fact is, because of the challenging, he's able to come up with stuff that he never would have thought of under normal conditions. Therefore, he says, not only does the kosher consumer not miss out, but quite often he'll get stuff that the regular consumer of non-kosher food will never dream exists.
Right, that is
and
a very
way,
valid point.
As I'm looking at various issues of your magazine, I see a lot of very interesting variations on a theme, interesting variations of dishes that we normally associated with trade food.
Exactly. So really, number one, when I say missing out, I don't necessarily mean on the taste of food. We have so much delicious food. Like, even just kosher food, traditional kosher food, is delicious. It's incredible. You know, feed a regular Shabbos meal to someone who never experienced it, they would be wowed. They would be so impressed and excited. What I mean by missing out really was to create a magazine that was just like another cooking magazine that you find in Barnes & Nobles. For example, you know, we had, as kosher foodies, we had subscribed to many different magazines, and we used to get them, and I even had, you know, my son, he was 4 years old, 5 years old, looking through the magazine and commenting on the food and commenting on, there was like a turkey sandwich with cheese, and he was commenting on how delicious it looked and how yummy it was, but he knew that he wasn't going to be able to eat that specific sandwich because it had cheese and turkey. So what I mean by creating something where people don't feel like they're missing out, we are presenting kosher food in a way, in a magazine format, and you can follow the recipes, and everything in the magazine is up to the highest standards of kosher. And just like you said, coming up with ideas that are so much more above than what you would normally come up with. For example, for Purim, we did kreplach. So that was our twist on tradition, which we always try to do something to take a traditional food and bring it up to such an exciting, you know, new level. So we did kreplach three ways. Number one, we baked them, which is really, you know, it's healthy and delicious. And we introduced different flavors from all over the world. We did a samosa kreplach, which was, you know, Indian inspired. We did a spanakopita, which was Greek, and we did a baklava kreppel, which was a dessert version of a kreppel. And they were all so phenomenal, exciting. Our hamantaschen in this issue also take a typical hamantash and to a whole nother level. I mean, at the photo shoot, we all could not stop eating the hamantaschen. They had, there was one that was really good. It was sage dough with olive tapenade and roasted peppers. It was so good and yet traditional at the same time, because it does keep to the idea of what a hamantash is.
Very good. Now, tell me something. Okay, so I understand you wanted to produce something different, but you have no experience as a magazine executive. You have no experience in publishing.
Right.
I mean, wasn't it scary to start a magazine?
Well, so I'll tell you the honest truth. It's sometimes when you know what you're getting into, you don't do it because you know what you're getting into. So while the magazine is very exciting, due to our lack, you could say, of being in the business, our passion took us to do something that, had we known the challenges that, you know, as everybody knows with publishing that exists, we wouldn't have done it. But we did it, and I have to say that it was really well worth our while. And I think that really our excitement to do this, and, you know, our desire to bring something like this to the public really helped us, you know, accomplish it, and it really made all the difference. So it's actually, I would say, my lack of being in the publishing world, which I think was a very big advantage in this case, because it really allowed us to do something that I don't know if somebody who has a knowledge of this publishing industry would do. And we're very happy with the results. You know, our subscribers, we get so many fabulous comments, and our subscription rates are increasing, and, you know, the feedback has been amazing, and it's a very exciting journey to be on.
Very good. Now, tell me something. Obviously, once you got started and you saw what you're getting into, I mean, there must have been some strange moments, some scary moments, no?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with everything, anybody who starts a new business or a new venture could tell you, you know, the challenges that you face and different things that you didn't know that you would have to do A, B, and C, and then you have to do it. You didn't know how much this would cost. You thought that, you know, anybody who starts a new business could tell you that there's always challenges that come up, and, you know, there definitely is always, you know, different things. We learned so much also, because if you look at our first issue, we had a 40-page issue. Now we have a 76-page issue. The way we photograph our food has changed. The editing has changed. The style, like, we do more, not just to photograph the food, but it tells more of a story. We have more themes going through the magazine. All these things is a result of, oh, we did make, you know, obviously as newbies in this publishing world, we obviously had our tough moments and we obviously made some mistakes, but it actually brought us to publish this amazing, amazing product. I mean, even you could probably say, I don't know if you've looked through the other magazines, which are all really great, but I think that this one really solidifies, you know, what we're going for, the direction that we're heading in, and it's really due to all those challenges that we had that let us bring you such an amazing product. And it's really because, you know, we have a really great staff. My husband Shlomi is really involved. He does a great job. And our art director and graphic designer, Nachum Marcus, and our food stylist, Chai Friedman, and our photographers, Ruvi Leader and Sasha Gibson, they all do a really incredible job. And it's really from all our mistakes, we just keep on growing and bringing an even better product to the public.
Okay. I am sure there must also have been some amusing incidents, at least maybe at the moment they may not have seemed amusing, but in retrospect, they probably are. Do you have any such moments?
Well, I mean, specifically in regards to the whole idea of what kosher means to people was actually, you know, you live in, you know, everybody lives in, you know, their world. Everybody's so familiar with what kosher means. In our first issue, we did people on the streets define kosher. And we went, you know, myself and another editor went to New York City in Manhattan, and we asked literally hundreds of people to define kosher, just to get an idea of what people's understanding of kosher was. And that was really humorous. It was very interesting. Also, it was an eye-opening experience to see what people think of as kosher. And actually, I was just recently at an event at a food show, and, you know, I was going around introducing myself, you know, looking just to find what's new on the market, you know, exciting products that are, you know, available to the kosher consumer. I mean, there's so many incredible stuff. So anyway, I was speaking to this lady, and she had barbecue sauce. It looked really good. So she says, taste it. I said, you know, it doesn't have a kosher symbol. I keep kosher. I can't have it. She says, it's kosher. The rabbi just didn't bless it yet. So, you know, I was like, yeah, well, I just had to sort of, you know, I didn't want to offend her, but that was, you know, quite amusing. And the general consensus in general of what people think kosher is really a blessing of the rabbi, or, you know,
right,
they know it's something Jewish. And it's actually quite interesting. And that's also something, you know, we're trying to, you know, quote unquote, educate people. People are interested in kosher. And I think the kosher food is very popular nowadays. So many restaurants that aren't even kosher are doing traditional Jewish food. I mean, matzah ball soup and deli sandwiches. It's so popular.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, many people keep kosher just because they feel like it's cleaner and more, you know, and just healthier, which some people actually also said when we were asking them what kosher is. So really that's what we're trying to accomplish as well, is just to present something to people that, you know, will present kosher in the light that it does deserve to be presented in. And so far, you know, we really feel that, you know, we're accomplishing our goal. Like somebody actually told us, we got a comment about this issue, and I thought that it just really exemplified what we are going for. And she said that the magazine, she would say that Patevon is the architectural digest of kosher cooking magazines. And, you know, that was something that obviously, you know, felt very good, such a compliment. But it really also, I really appreciated that comment because it defined what we're going for here, which is to basically, you know, be a guide to people. You know, we have recipes for every day. We have gourmet. We have techniques that people never heard of, just to inspire people to follow and just to have something exciting to read, you know, every time Yom Tov comes around. And even just, we're going to be doing a summer issue just for the summer, just something exciting for people to have and to enjoy.
Okay. How many issues do you have during the year?
So we do 6 issues a year so far. It's every 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And usually,
right,
some of them have corresponded with Yom Tovim, some of them haven't. Like we did a summer issue. It was completely just summer. It was a lot of grilling, barbecuing recipes. Then we did a fall issue, which was connected to the Yom Tovim. We're now, our late winter issue, that's now going to be on newsstands this at the end of the week, that's actually late winter and also Purim. So it's a combination of both. So we have 6 issues a year. Yeah, it's very exciting. It really keeps us busy. I mean, now we're busy eating Pesach food. So because we're preparing for the Pesach issue.
And
it's actually funny because, you know, a lot of people, you know, my siblings, friends, they love coming to eat at my house because I'm always trying new exciting things. The only time nobody wants to come eat is when I try Pesach recipes. Last year I invited my brother and sister to come eat. They had no clue that I was trying Pesach recipes, you know, until you get it right. So they came in the middle of the winter to have a Pesach meal. They were not too excited. But, you know, it really keeps us busy and it's exciting. Yeah.
So let me ask you another question. I understand that as a mother of two, as a wife, you have to cook. But
yeah,
there are thousands of cooks. There are thousands of wives. There are thousands of mothers. How do you manage to get it exciting? What is it that makes you want to look for that extra ingredient, that extra technique?
You're saying generally when I cook specifically?
Yes.
Well, honestly, you know, there are times that you just want to cook, you know, spaghetti and cheese for supper. And but then there are times that really it's just a passion for cooking and bringing something exciting to the table. It's the excitement of trying something new. I mean, in this issue, for example, we did a family dinner and we used the Indian spice called garam masala, which is very widely available.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a spice that, you know, you would never think to pick up, but you pick it up, you know, sprinkle it on a piece of tilapia, and it takes that piece of fish and brings you to a whole other place. You're sitting eating supper and you feel like you went out to an Indian restaurant. So that's really that excitement of trying new things, bringing new flavors to the table. I mean, regarding cooking for your family, sometimes, you know, not all the little kids appreciate garam masala, but it actually is just that excitement to bring something that takes you to another place, that brings excitement to the food. And food is such a big part of life in general. You know, so many things take place around food. You know, any simchas, Shabbos meals, Yom Tov meals, family gatherings, friend gatherings, you know, people get together, they go out to eat. You know, people want to celebrate something, they go out to eat. So it's such a big part of life. And, you know, adding that extra ingredient, doing that extra technique really brings excitement to something that you do every day.
Very good. Now, where is the magazine going next? What are some of your future plans for the magazine?
Future plans in what respect? What future articles do we have? Or
yeah. Some ideas the types of articles.
You know, we have
some ideas of whom you are using as writers and so on.
Well, we have specific. I mean, for example, like we just had Steven Weinberger do an article for us about the lost art of knicker. So I really,
mm-hmm.
really enjoyed him and his passion for food, his knowledge for food. I mean, doing the magazine brings you to meet so many people with so much knowledge and so much to share. And he's just an example. I mean, we're going to be using him next issue also to really bring something phenomenal, really exciting to our readers. New techniques, new ingredients, introducing our readers to products that they normally wouldn't use, but also incorporating things that you use every day. That's what's great about the magazine is that, let's say, in the 70 or plus recipes that we have in each issue, there's 20 recipes that you could just make in 10, 15 minutes. And that's so easy and uses basic ingredients. Then there's more, you know, complex recipes. So there's something for everyone. And even for somebody who doesn't love to spend hours in the kitchen, it's exciting to just read the different ingredients. It gives you ideas. It gives you a feel for what's going on. So the direction that we want to go in is we have our basic articles that we do in every issue. We have kitchen disasters, family dinners. We have Ask the Rub. We have a kids cooking column. We have keeping kosher in different locations. I mean, we went from, you know, our first issue had Keeping Kosher in Bahia, Brazil. We had Keeping Kosher in Rostov. We just did now Keeping Kosher in South Africa. And together with that, this is also something new we're going to be incorporating, is a little bit of travel, you know, just to take people also connect with the food. So we did Keeping Kosher in South Africa. So we also wrote about the top five places to visit in South Africa. We wrote about the Hechsher in South Africa, and, you know, when you go to South Africa and you're, you know, as a kosher consumer, you're always worried about, you know, what you're going to eat, you know, the food. It's so much on our mind. So we wrote about that, and we wrote about how to get there. So that's something that we're going to be incorporating as well. And we're really looking forward to just, you know, any, you know, readers always give us input. We listen to whatever, you know, they have in mind. And we're very excited about the upcoming issues.
Going through the current issue, the issue that's about to come out, the winter issue, one of my favorite articles there is The Fabulous Fondue.
Oh, yes, yes, that's a lot of fun.
When my kids became teenagers, decades ago, well, not that long ago, anyway, when they became teenagers, long before they got married and got their own kids, every Motzei Shabbos, it was a family tradition. We started out with pizza, then once I decided to have a fondue, and that was it. From then on, no more pizza. It had to be a fondue every Motzei Shabbos.
Yeah, that is good. That's good.
And sometimes it was with cheese, sometimes it was with chocolate, all types of things like that.
Right.
And yes, I saw that article brought back some great memories and gave me some ideas.
The fondue was very much in fashion in the 1970s. So anybody that
Absolutely.
Was around then also, yeah, it was very much in fashion then. And I think it's making a bit of a comeback. So we just wanted to introduce the fondue. And so a lot of people who've already seen, because our subscribers have already gotten the magazine, so people who are around then remember the fondue, and it's very exciting for them because it brings back memories, which is also something so great about food. You know, we also do, like, recipe with a story in our magazine, and the first issue I wrote about my Bubby's Borscht. And, like, there's different foods that, like, bring you back to different places in your life and where you were when you ate it and the memories that it brings, which is really amazing. And that's what we also, you know, make memories with food and really, you know, it's really an amazing part. And what's also exciting about the fondue article, we had our writer, Elia Fleischer, she contributes also often, just someone else that we got, you know, we came into contact with because of Bitei Avon. And it's really amazing how much, you know, people have to share and how much knowledge people have. So she did this article, and what was so interesting, because with fondue you really associate chocolate and cheese, you know, whether it's, you know, milk chocolate or pariv. So she introduced this idea of a beef fondue, where it's like, it's a beef broth, and you dip your vegetables and even raw pieces of meat, which cook because the broth is hot. And that was a lot. That was so delicious, and it was so different. It almost felt like, you know, a little bit of being in a Japanese restaurant. So that was also very exciting. Mm-hmm. That was something new that I learned just from reading her article and seeing that. It was very exciting.
Also, as I'm looking through the photography, specifically the South African article, as a food photographer, I can tell you that the photography is very, very good. In fact, quite a few of the photographs almost make me want to reach in and grab it, except it's still paper. I can't grab it.
Well, that's the idea, yeah. You know, that's also something that we work hard to do is, you know, we make all the food ourselves, photograph it ourselves, and really bring it to the reader as, you know, sort of, you know, something that takes you to want to make that food and, you know, think about it and brings it to life. You know, we have an amazing food stylist and photographers, and, you know, it's really incredible. And we try to make the food also look as realistic as it's going to be in real life as well, you know?
Now, running a magazine is not an easy task. We understand that.
Yeah.
As you've learned the hard way, I guess.
Knowing what you know now, would you have started it?
And if so, what would you have done different knowing what you know now?
That is a good question. Would I have started it? Yeah, I really would have. What would I have done different? I think my expectations would just be more realistic in regards to, you know, I mean, in regards to how much subscribers I'm going to get in the first month, you know, or how much magazines I'll sell in the first month. My expectations would be more realistic. Which, you know, which sort of helps a little bit. But at the same time, you know, it's going through this experience, which, you know, really teaches you so much, and it's really been incredible. But that's really, I would say, the only thing I would do different is that, oh, maybe we had in the beginning, you know, I would have done I would have worked a little bit, I would have been a little bit more vigilant about, you know, just to go over the editing. We had a few mistakes, you know, and when you print something, it's such a bad feeling when mm-hmm. you have a misprint or something doesn't, you know, it doesn't go the way you wanted. That's something else also, yeah, that I would have, you know, been more focused on. Yeah, that's a good question. You got me thinking.
Okay. Now, looking through some of the articles, for example, The Art of Braising.
Yeah.
Okay, where you have some fantastic chefs, Laura Frankel, Jeff Nathan, Seth Warshow.
Mm-hmm.
How do you convince these people come and contribute some of your recipes? How do you go about it?
Well, that's also something that's been so amazing. You know, the kosher world isn't so big, and you know the experts in our world are so willing to share and to give of their time to give quality recipes. And I mean, Laura Frankel wrote the article. She also wrote the introduction, and she gave a recipe, and she just shared so many tips that are so priceless. I mean,
mm-hmm.
people, you know, these chefs went to school, and they had so much experience, and they spent so much time and money and years
right.
and years to learn everything they know, and they are so willing to share all their knowledge and information with the kosher public. It's actually surprisingly, most, I would say the majority of chefs don't even have to be convinced to share and to contribute, and they do it with pleasure. It's really a pleasure dealing with all of these chefs, and each and every
well,
one of them.
Well, for example, these three
yeah.
chefs.
Yeah,
all of them
so,
are very nice, warm individuals.
Exactly.
All three: Laura, Jeff,
yeah.
Seth.
Exactly.
Extremely warm individuals. Extremely amiable. Very people loving.
Mm-hmm. And
I guess that's part of their secret. Why? Right, they're the
what?
Top restaurants, and
exactly.
they have some of the top restaurants. Well, Laura Frankel doesn't have a restaurant anymore, but she
right.
does work for, she's the head of the kosher division of Wolfgang Puck.
I know, that's
in
really,
Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Jeff, of course, has Abigail, and Seth has the incredible ETC Steakhouse in Teaneck.
Exactly.
Yeah, but they also, part of their secret, part of what makes them so likable, what makes their food so good, is that they like people. And you can see it as you talk to them. You can see it as you taste their food. You can see it as they write.
Exactly. You see their passion. And like you said, they like people. You could say they're a mensch and they're nice and... It's really a pleasure to deal with all of them, and all their dishes were so, so incredible. I mean, we were tasting it as, you know, after the photo shoot. It was really unbelievable. It's worth just picking up the magazine to see what they contributed.
And what did you use for a kitchen? Where is the kitchen where this is, where the photos are being taken?
All the food and recipe testing is done in my kitchen. The photos are taken in different, you know, we use different houses and studios to take the photos.
Right.
Because we need a large space.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so far, we found very nice locations where we have photographed, you know, we had the Silver family gave us, you know, their house to use, and we found, you know, different people have been very generous with that. And, yeah, their house turns into a food photo studio. But, it's been with a lot of success.
Very good. And, well, since we are almost out of time.
Oh, that was quick.
Tell
yeah.
us a little bit how we can find your magazine, where we can find your magazine, and when is your website going to be fully functional?
Okay, my website, number one, was supposed to be fully functional a month ago. But, so hopefully within the next month or so, our website will be up and fully functional, and it will be featured all our 100%, you know, original recipes that were tried and tested and were specifically designed for the magazine. So that should be up in about a month, maybe along with our Pesach issue in March sometime. Our magazine is available in Barnes & Noble and ShopRite, in most kosher supermarkets and newsstands. It's available online at bitayavon.com. That's bitayavon.com. And actually, we have two options. You can order single issues if you want to just try it out and see what it's all about. And you could also order a subscription. And we found many people really enjoy giving a subscription as a gift, because it's the gift that we say, it's the gift that keeps on coming. Because every 2 months, you know, the person you gave the gift to gets this in the mail, and it constantly reminds them, oh, my friend or my sister or, you know, a parent, whatever, gave me a gift. And, you know, they always remember it. It's a really great, something great to give as a gift as well. It's a great thank you gift. And, you know, people have been really using it in that respect as well. So it's at bitayavon.com.
Where can people contact you in order to start getting the magazine? Only through the website?
No, we also have a phone number. The number is 917. That's a good question. It's 917-683-8145. And basically,
you repeat
they
that
can
again?
917-683-8145. And they can call that number to order subscriptions. If they have any questions about the magazine or anything magazine related, they can give us a call.
Now, how will the fully functional website differ from the magazine?
A website is much more automatically, is much more interactive. There's a lot more that you can do on the website. We're going to be working to make it exciting and, you know, introduce, you know, if there's something, you know, newsworthy or new recipes by the day we can do, you know, it's, you have a magazine. A magazine is amazing because it's in front of you and it's something that you could hold on to. The website is going to be a little bit more interactive. You know, people can comment, people can share. We can post up different, you know, interesting ideas and recipes and, you know, videos. And so that's going to take the magazine to a whole nother level online.
Okay, very good, and thank you very, very much. It's been a nice, exciting show. You are a very good guest. We hope to have you on the show again sometime.
Well, thank
hopefully
you for
soon.
Having me. Yeah. Okay.
And thank you very much to one and all for listening. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, and tune us in again next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you very much. Good night.